All right. Brian Hopkins, he's an alderman in the city of Chicago. He has just stepped into the studio with us. And the first question I think everybody has, all the news people want to know, is there going to be a vote on marijuana tomorrow?
I think it's likely there will be a vote. There was a little bit of drama today in the city council committee on contract and equity. One vote was the difference, and Alderman Riley actually stepped in a very rare parliamentary maneuver, used his status as president pro tem to cast a vote on a committee which he is not a member of. And even with that vote, there were a few who switched their vote at the last minute, and the measure passed over the mayor's objections by one vote. So we expect some fireworks tomorrow in council.
And so the whole controversy here is that there are a block of aldermen who would like to stop this vote from going through. This vote would be the ordinance that allows these brick-and-mortar stores to open up.
Right. The authorization under state law. We have authorization to begin selling recreational cannabis in Chicago on January 1st.
But you guys have to okay it. You guys have to agree to it.
Which we've done.
So there's a block of aldermen that want to stop this vote tomorrow, which would allow people to start to get the real estate, right?
Yeah, what they'd like to do is delay the implementation date, which is already set for January 1st, Happy New Year, and kick it back 6 months to give the incubators time to find minority ownership and to find some other companies in addition to the established companies who are ready to go.
I mean, but who would require that to happen, though? They're looking for an ordinance that would require people who have existing licenses to find minority partners?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so far you can go to force that by law. We're really using social pressure to force those majority owners to do the right thing and partner up with minority businesses. They've all heard the message loud and clear. They don't need a law to tell them to do that. But up until now, they really haven't had time to do it, so they're just going to open their doors with their current ownership. Mm-hmm. And their current ownership, surprisingly, doesn't have very many minorities in it.
Well, what would encourage them to do that after they're open?
If this passes and the 6 month delay takes effect, every one of these companies is going to be scrambling to find active minority participation that they can bring into their company so they can show they've done the right thing, they've achieved some measure of social equity to help communities that have been adversely impacted by drug laws ever since we've been alive.
Right. I mean, I get all that. So I understand the social justice piece of it.
So they haven't been able to tell that story right now because this whole thing has been rushed through, and the current ownership of these companies who have been selling medical marijuana for some time, I don't know that they saw this coming, if they did or they didn't, but they haven't prepared for the battle that they're having right now, which is where they're being accused of dropping the ball on social equity.
Yeah. You know, my years of covering Chicago have taught me something. And it's always that when you get situations like this, when you get blocks, someone's going to get paid. I've never seen it fail. Now, maybe this is all about social justice, but one would imagine that there may be some entrepreneurs and some business people that are already available to be plugged in to these companies that they could take on right now, which would either stem the vote or would call for another vote potentially before the 1st of January, right, to get this thing going, if there were to be an emergency situation, and that those people who would be ready to be plugged in, who may be involved in a lot of other kinds of businesses where these kinds of things have happened before. There are, nobody wants nobody sent in this town, and it seems to me that this kind of smells like that, and that if they don't plug these folks in, then they're just not going to go through. And when those people get plugged in, then the question is, what kind of donations are the aldermen who held up the whole thing going to reap from those people who do get plugged in? Right? I mean, I've seen that 1,000 times.
I can only speak for myself. The figure there will be zero. I'm not getting anywhere near this. This is a very perilous situation. And you're right. You're right to raise those concerns. There's a tremendous amount of money at stake here. There's absolutely no question about it that on January 1st or July 1st, whenever the doors open for recreational cannabis sale, there will be cash registers ringing all over Chicago. So for any politician right now to be looking at a way to angle to somehow get some of that money, I wouldn't advise it. This is a very dangerous situation in the environment that we're in right now. It's a slippery slope ethically and legally. And I wouldn't want to see any of my colleagues in the city council get indicted over something like this.
I would just like to say that the FBI is listening. That's all I want to say. It is very clear that the FBI has got microphones and cameras everywhere right now. And they're just basically shooting ducks in a barrel in Chicago. And every piece of this story reeks of that kind of Chicago fix.
Let me add this, though, in defense of some of my colleagues who are not naming here. But I can tell you in the past, and you know this, Ro, we have seen more than a few individuals go to jail when it comes to minority set-asides and quota programs because they get a friend of theirs to pretend to be the businessman, someone who has a noble businesswoman, right? Yeah. And they put that front out there so they can access special funds or special contracts that are set aside. I can guarantee you that is not happening here. Nobody is playing that game. In fact, I think that game is over. People have gone to jail repeatedly for that. You can't get away with that anymore. The checks and the balances and the regulations that are put in place for that prohibit those sort of shell games from happening.
Proof of business. You are an active going concern.
Thousands of pages to prove that you are a legitimate minority enterprise before you can access any of those funds that would be set aside. This is another matter entirely. This is where there is no, basically, there's no minority participation at all. So we've all decided that there to be. The question is, who is going to get it? And that's where the scramble is right now.
I do not disagree with the notion of it because it's just an amazing circumstance. We were talking about it earlier. It's one of the great ironies that we're trying to encourage business in hard-hit economic communities by getting storefronts in those hard and by getting storefronts for young African American entrepreneurs or for Hispanic entrepreneurs, primarily African American in this particular move, though that's a political bloc that is looking here to be almost exclusively African American, right? Isn't it?
Well, the Latinos are involved too.
Okay, so as this is happening, as they're what we're doing is for decades and decades and decades and decades, we were putting guys in jail for selling marijuana on the street. And now there's a political move to get a storefront right where they were selling the marijuana on the street before, which I think changes it. It's sort of what the dream is, right? You want to decriminalize it and take the criminals out of it. That's the whole idea. The irony here is going to be, who are going to be the power brokers and who are they going to push into those particular situations?
There's another level to this debate, though, and that is the professionalism required for an industry of this nature. I compare it to the adult beverage industry, wine, spirits, beer, where we have a very strict, highly regulated environment that has three separate tiers: the producers, the distributors, and the retailers. Each level is taxed, regulated, right, Scrutinized. There's a whole infrastructure of enforcement surrounding it.
And they have to be separated.
To prevent bootlegging, and they have to be separated, exactly, to prevent all sorts of nonsense, illegality, black market bootlegging. That doesn't exist today in cannabis, yet we're about to hit the start button on this huge new multi-million dollar industry without that background. It's an unsettling notion.
Yeah. I mean, there are things. I get it. I understand what the issue is here. And like I said, I think that, especially in the growing part, I mean, there should be more opportunities because I think that just because everything sold in Illinois has to be grown and developed in Illinois because of the way the federal laws are now. That will change eventually. But right now, that's the case. And it's interesting because I think that that's one of the reasons that you're going to have fewer growers in Illinois, because they know that eventually they may put up a bunch of money up right now, and they're going to be put out of business because eventually it's going to be across state lines. And that we saw that early on in this whole marijuana debate. Kim, I think, has a statement, though, right? Don't you have a statement from Lori Lightfoot now?
Mayor just Lightfoot, released? She did release a statement, and basically, Rose, she's saying that, you know, she has no intention of Chicago being left behind, and that she's sorry that the Black Caucus is taking this stance and that they're wanting to stay on the sidelines. And that it's going to have multiple effects.
Chicago left behind on January 1st,
correct,
where the rest of the state is doing
this. She has no intention. Right. The Chicago will be with the rest of the state on January 1st.
Okay. Are there the votes in the council right now?
The mayor's floor leader just acknowledged about an hour ago that the mayor does not have the votes to pass this tomorrow. I was stunned that the floor leader publicly said that because, frankly, I haven't got a call yet. So they don't know how I'm going to vote. They haven't asked me yet. I don't know who's
counting the roll. Would you like to tell us how you're going to vote since you're sitting right here?
You know, right before I came up on the elevator, the chairman of the Black Caucus called me, and he wants to have a discussion with me. 9 times out of 10, I go along with the Black Caucus. They're friends of mine. I understand what they're doing. I'm certainly open to that conversation. But until I have that conversation, I'm not going to commit to this. I am going to say that I'm skeptical of what's going to change in 6 months, going back to my previous point about the necessity of a carefully designed regulatory infrastructure that we don't have it right now. We're not going to have it in 6 months either. So I'm not sure what the six-month delay really accomplishes. It would be a significant embarrassing loss for Mayor Lightfoot if she loses this floor vote tomorrow.
All right. Big drama tomorrow. Big drama in Washington, big drama here in Chicago tomorrow. I kind of like the drama here better, to be honest. All right. Alderman Hopkins, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. We got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.